Time now for the Yahoo Sports College Podcast with Dan Wetzel.
Tyson Chicken has been reliably serving chicken to America for generations, and these guys are slacking Gen Z roosters.
And SI's Pat Forty.
This isn't just outside the box. I mean, this is like, the box is in Walnut Creek, California, and this idea is coming in from Jupiter.
Here's Pat and Dan.
All right, we got no Pete today. Pete is in the Carolinas. Kind of part vacation, I believe. Part driving around meeting with coaches, including Kevin Kelly. The no punt. We're going to hear all about the no punt stories next week, but we don't get him today. He also may have run out of gas, for all I know.
So I figured that's part of this whole trip, is he's making a commando run down there to steal gas.
Zero problems with gasoline in the Carolinas until Pete shows up.
See?
He's probably stealing it. He's getting in line, doing things like that. Just, I feel bad. I know we have a lot of listeners in the South, and feel bad for the gas shortage. That would frazzle me to no end.
Yes, severely.
Severely frazzled I would be. So hopefully that ends soon, because that sucks. That said, I am amused at the, I love, you know, these things just expose America to its core. It is a mirror to America. Like, you know, how many political ads, you know, F-150 ads, America times get tough. We lean on each other. Neighbors and friends. Hell no. Immediately run down the gas station and start trying to hoard it. Screw the other guy. I don't care if this old lady needs to get to work. I got to make sure I top off my jet skis in case I want to run them for 7 hours this weekend. Because this is America, damn it. We steal from each other. We cheat each other. Like, it's like, guys, we're going to be low on gas for like 3 days. Everyone just chill. Maybe just stay home, take a walk. Hell no! No.
A, panic, and then B, yes, screw your neighbor. I love the woman who pulled up, you know, with tons of people in line. I think it was in Charlotte or something, and just starts pulling out huge gas cans. Like, she's not only filling her car, but she's filling like 8 different gas containers as well, while everybody's watching, just wanting to murder her.
What are you doing? How much gas you need? Are you OPEC or something? What? People are flipping out. I saw some woman try to cut the line. There's like 1,000 people in line. What are you doing? And then the guy's yelling at her. She got out and spit at the dude.
Oh,
and he spit at her. It was like it was like just this. I got this story. Police in Georgia had to arrest a man who drilled holes into a U-Haul truck to steal gas and caused a 45-gallon spill.
There you go. Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
That's, yeah, the criminal masterminds are coming out here. The people who don't know how to steal gas, which, you know, most people probably don't, and are going to screw it up and leave gas running all over the South on the ground or wherever. This is just phenomenal.
This guy now is facing charges just so he could, like, you're literally going to prison. I mean, I imagine this is a significant, first off, you're stealing. Destruction of property. There's got to be some environmental law here. You can't just dump all this gas all over Griffin, Georgia.
And being a jerk. I'd add two more years on for that.
You want to go in front of a jury or peers on this? Life without parole. Gas them. You want gas? I'll give you gas. Good God. You're going to go to prison because you wanted to make sure you had enough gas that you didn't need.
2020 spring, toilet paper panic. 2021 spring, gas panic.
Toilet paper. I forgot about that one. People buying all pallets of toilet paper out at Home Depot. What have you been eating? What are you going to do with all that? Share.
This is America. We come together. Yeah.
Brother in arms. Neighbor to neighbor. Come on, man. This is... we are... And I've probably been doing it. I would have been down there with like a hefty bag. Like, some, I mean, that's the thing. They don't even got gas containers. Some lady was filling up like single sack grocery bags.
That's like what? Impossibly dumb. I mean, just like incredible.
And she like she did double bag it. I saw a video. She was double bagging it. It's like that's gonna spill. But even then, how much gasoline is this? What do you what? And where is 1 gallon gonna matter in your life?
It's gonna be a tricky pour out of the the Kroger bag into the gas container in the car. I mean, what? It's just astounding, unbelievable. And as you said, you know, this is gonna be like. Maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, whatever. I am old enough, Dan Wetzel, to remember the gas shortages of the early 70s and the long lines there and everything. But I'm sure there was skullduggery and conniving and dirty dealing going on then. I don't remember that. This is highly entertaining, I have to say.
$5 million ransom to get the pipeline going again. Yeah. Also known as the LSU basketball recruiting class.
Oh, they did just get another 5-star.
Whole bunch of AAU coaches are out there trying to learn coding skills so they can hack. They're like, wait, this is a good buck. It's easier than babysitting a power forward for 4 years, paying off his crazy dad. Well, I don't know what Pete's doing. I don't know whether I hope he doesn't run out of gas or I kind of hope he does.
Yeah, I kind of hope he does.
Kind of be, you know, I'm torn. If it happens, it happens. Let's just put it. If it happens,
let's see. Where would be an ideal place for Pete to run out of gas in the Carolinas? You know, like he's going to the coast.
Probably up near Clemson, and he doesn't know how to pronounce it. So he would, we don't have anyone named Dabo. We only have Dabo.
And it's Clemson. Clemson.
I don't know. I don't know what he would do. But anyway. Pete's out working. We'll get some good stories on him. We also was very close with as a reporter, at least, with Colt Brennan. We're going to talk about him next time Pete's on. The Hawaii legend gave us a lot of fun back in the day. Passed away, unfortunately. So we will get to them. We did want to talk some football with Pete gone. I know it's crazy.
Risky.
I know. A little risky, but I've noticed this perusing the early top 25s. You may have done a top 25, Pat. Have you done an early top 25?
Honestly, I'm trying to remember if I did. I think I did last January, but I don't remember who I even put in it.
Way too early top 25. All right. Well, let me tell you who you put in your top five, because every one of these has the same top five in some order. Oklahoma, who I predicted would be the over the top. Win the offseason because they're bowl game. Alabama because they're Alabama. Georgia because they're Georgia. Ohio State because they're Ohio State. Clemson because they're Clemson.
There you go. Clemson.
William Christopher, coach them up. Those five are your top five. I can't argue with any of them. However, sometimes somebody unexpected makes the playoff. So I want to ask you, Pat, who do you see? Maybe we could have a little draft. You want to do a draft? Two-man draft?
Sure. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay. You pick. I pick. We'll go a couple rounds here till we get bored. Shouldn't take long. Who would you see as the dark horse, the team that could crack the top five and actually make the playoff next year that is not named Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, or Georgia?
Well, I'm going to champion the team that I championed last year and I thought deserved at least stronger consideration than they got, and brings back a heck of a team this time around, and that is Cincinnati. Bearcats bring back Desmond Ridder, quarterbacks coming back, is, you know, right down the wire whether or not he was going to go or stay. He decided to stay. The defense is going to be really good again. Offensive line is getting, should be a year older and better. Skill positions. Solid. So, and I look at the schedule and they've got some opportunities, Dan. They've got some names and some power conferences. That was the thing last year. They didn't get to play those games. But this year they're at Indiana, September 18th. Indiana's good team. You win that game, instant credibility. Then you have an off week. Then the big one at Notre Dame, October 2nd. You win that one. Now we're talking. If they're 4-0 at that point, they start Miami, Ohio, Murray State. So 2-0. Then you get your two big prove it games. And that momentum, I think, can carry them the rest of the way if they don't screw up. UCF, you know, always a good game. They come to Nippert Stadium. SMU, quality opponent, comes to Nippert. So you get probably your two best league games against them. Give me the Bearcats, man. Let's shake it up. And I know it will take people on the committee thinking outside of the Power Five box, but I'm going to say that there's a lot of pressure on them to do it because they're going to beat a couple big name teams.
They would need help from the top five.
They would.
But look, Indiana and Notre Dame, that's nice wins. Those are nice wins. So they'd have to go undefeated.
Yep.
They'd have to win those two games. Have to be pretty convincing. They would need no second SEC team to pop up and probably the Big 12 to cannibalize itself.
Yep.
And then the Pac-12 to cannibalize itself. Like they cannot have an undefeated Oregon.
Right.
They cannot have, they're going to need help. But sort of like, if not now, when? And my answer is never, not now.
Yeah.
That's what they old.
That's the more likely answer, but
the committee has already said that they did not pass the game control test. And you're like, hey, season hasn't started, dude.
Yeah.
All right. My first round pick on a potential gate crasher is not necessarily that big of an underdog or an outsider, but pretty close. I'm going with the Cyclones.
Okay.
Iowa State can do this. They returned 19 starters. They went 9-3, 8-1 in the Big 12. Stumbled early. They've got, 19 starters coming back. They got QB Brock Purdy, Xavier Hutchinson, Breece Hall. They got a great offense, good defense. I think they absolutely have what it takes. They get Iowa at home. Their non-conference otherwise is Northern Iowa and UNLV. Their thing is going to be going undefeated or at best one loss. They get Oklahoma State at home. They get Texas at home. We'll see if those matter. Their biggest issue is they get TCU at home. They have to play Oklahoma. They probably will have to beat Oklahoma twice. They play them November 20th and then probably in the Big 12 championship game. This is where that Big 12 championship extra data point will maybe not be helpful. Can you beat Oklahoma twice? But I could see them walking undefeated into that first game in Norman right before Thanksgiving. Iowa's a good team, so that's a good non-conference win. It's a matter if they can put together the dream season. They also are dealing with the pressure of everybody saying you need to put together a dream. Like, they're not really coming out of the woodwork. They're just sitting there. No one's picking Iowa State because you don't pick Iowa State. You pick Oklahoma. At the same time, if not now, when? It's lined up pretty well for them. Their league road games are at Tech, at K-State, at Baylor, and then at Oklahoma. They at West Virginia too. They tend to blow a game. That's the thing. It's really hard to go undefeated. That's Clemson and Alabama. Even Clemson and Alabama blow games sometimes.
The fact of the matter is they've tended to play down to when the expectations are higher. They tend to go a little bit lower. They've been one of those programs in recent years. They've blown a game early, and it's usually when people are expecting things from them. Last year was Louisiana Lafayette. It was a good team. But still, you lose by, I think it was 17 points at home on your opener, Louisiana Lafayette. And then I think it was the year before, 2 years before that, when they were in like triple overtime to beat Northern Iowa when a lot was expected. So Matt Campbell's a heck of a coach, but he's got to show he can do it when everybody expects him to do it.
All right. Your second round pick.
I'm going to say, and talk about a team that would need to win a really big game, but I'm going to say Oregon.
Yeah, that was going to be my pick.
Yeah. If a team from the Pac-12 can roll to 11 to 12-0 or maybe even 11-1 and look really good doing it, then they're going to have a shot at it. The game they've got to win is at Ohio State September 11th. Certainly by no means easy, but that does give them a big stage. You may not be able to win, but if you do, then that's the trampoline bounce into the playoff right there. You win a road game against the Buckeyes. I think they are certainly the most talented team in the Pac-12. They have some questions at quarterback. I think they've got a good experienced defense. They're replacing defensive coordinator. So they've got some question marks there, but I think they have the most talent in the Pac-12. So I would take the Ducks.
Look, if they can beat Ohio State at Ohio State, then they're good enough to run the table.
Absolutely.
So you're going to know right away. If that's a close game, could they sneak in at 11? They don't have to play USC. They play at UCLA. They don't have USC. I think Utah's going to be pretty good out there, too. At least you're not sitting there saying, because USC is going to be a wild card. You don't know. They have players and all that. But obviously, if they can get that Buckeye game on the 11th, then anything's possible for them. I'm going to take North Carolina, and this is in part because I think, you know, they got 18 starters back. They have Sam Howell, could be the top quarterback in the country next year. We'll see. They got their whole offensive line back. They've got a lot there. And the question at the same time is Clemson take a step back? You know, I thought about A&M here, but you still got to get past out. I don't know that Alabama takes a step. Who's more likely to take a step back? Could North Carolina win the ACC, break the Clemson stranglehold, and slip in there? And I think so. It's in part, let's see what Clemson has. I don't think they'll be as dominant. And then is Carolina able to catch that? So it's a little bit of a value play here. But North Carolina would at least be a possibility on that. You know, I meant to look at these the odds here of North Carolina. This is BetMGM winning the ACC 15-2, so 7.5-1. Not too bad. Clemson's 1-8, but and I think we had earlier. What did we pick? Iowa State was 7-2. They actually are behind the betting odds of Texas. Okay.
That's because it's Texas.
And then your pick of Oregon was 9-4. And who else did you pick?
I picked Cincinnati.
Yeah, they're. Yep. I don't know. I don't have odds on them.
I'm going to say, going basically on the same theory that you did, you know, does Clemson step back and leave an opening? I'm going to take another ACC team and say Miami. Had a good season last year. Manny Diaz got it together, and they had a little bit of a kind of a breakthrough year. Derek King comes back for like his 23rd year of college football. He played like 18 at Houston, and now he's about 5 deep into Miami. Actually, this is only his second at Miami, but it just seems like he's been there a long time. Didn't finish the season well. You know, they got crushed by North Carolina, and then they lost their bowl game to Oklahoma State, but I think that they've got it building now. You know, I'm not sure they have the depth per se, but they can win the division. You get into a championship game, you get playing. You're playing a Clemson team that maybe isn't quite as good. What the heck? I will say the Canes at least have a long shot chance.
All right, consider Notre Dame here. Could they run it again? This is so we don't have to go another round. Notre Dame's schedule is interesting. At Florida State, who knows? Tricky, but should win. Toledo, Purdue, Wisconsin and Chicago, Cincinnati, at Virginia Tech, USC, Carolina, North Carolina, Navy, at Virginia, Georgia Tech, at Stanford. I don't know that they get to November undefeated. I think that's just that's my issue. They still got a lot of talent at Notre Dame. Brian Kelly's recruiting is really good, and everyone craps on them because they can't win a playoff game, but not basically 3 teams can win a playoff game. So deal with it. They just stack up really nice recruiting classes, and Brian Kelly's a really good coach. I could look back and go, God, why didn't I see that coming? I just feel like between at Florida State, Wisconsin, Cincinnati, USC and North Carolina, and maybe even Navy right after. God, see, that's the thing. There's just somewhere they're going to stumble in.
Yeah.
And so I won't pick them.
It's okay.
I am going to pick A&M.
Okay.
And this is a third round pick. And this is how not deep this draft is.
No, exactly. We're not. There's not that many options out there, at least on paper, you know?
There really isn't. Obviously, they were the other team that could have made. Kellen Mond is gone. They're going to break in a new quarterback, probably Haynes King. We'll see. They have 15 starters back. Everyone's got a ton of starters back.
Yeah, they got all those skill players back.
They got a ton of skill players back. Isaiah Spiller, particularly terrific. You know, defense got better. The problem is you don't win with defense anymore. Jimbo Fisher's an excellent coach. They recruit really, really well, as they should. They should recruit better. I've always said, I mean, Texas A&M, there's just no excuses. When you go to Texas A&M, it's phenomenal. I mean, they got every single thing you want. And it's a college town. It's not a big city, but it is about as smack dab as you can be between San Antonio, Austin area, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Houston. You know, I mean, there's just, and East Texas has so many players, and there's so many small town kids in Texas that College Station is big enough, and really just an hour and a half from parts of Houston, if that. So I think they can do it. It's just a matter of, you know, can they put it all together? And they have to play Alabama. And they're going to have to play LSU. But I feel like the SEC West, I mean, looking, yeah, their non-con is at Colorado. You know, get Arkansas neutral field, to get Mississippi State at home, to get Alabama at home. Ole Miss is going to be a tricky game. And I don't know what LSU will be at the end of the year.
Right.
But the idea that A&M could get to Atlanta is not out of the question. So I'm going to take them as my third round pick. But boy, yeah. it is a weak draft. Go ahead.
It is. No, for sure. And that you're looking at that, and I'm looking now at Miami's schedule, which I hadn't pulled up before I made the pick. But the one of those two probably has to slay the Alabama Dragon, because Miami opens against Alabama in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So, or they could do it this way. They could lose that opener and then run the table and then beat Clemson in the championship game. And that would give them at least one super credible victory. If they don't lose 66-7 to Alabama, if they keep it close, it's not a terrible loss. So
yeah, and they're 8-1 to win the ACC. So A&M could do that also. It could be close.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they were sitting there arguing our 28-point loss last year wasn't that bad. They came in fifth.
Right.
So if that's a close game against Alabama, they run the table the rest of the way. Yeah, and can they be that second? They're going to need a lot of help from somebody else. I just feel like eventually the Pac-12 team's going to get this thing together.
Yeah.
They would need help to get there. How about all that football talk?
How about that? Pete's going to be sitting there listening to this impressed.
Yeah, Pete. Huh? Mm-hmm.
See? All that football talk without going into the backup linebacker situation at Texas A&M or the special teams coverage units at, say, Oregon. So
they've got a new strength and conditioning coach at who were some of my picks? I can't even remember.
You had A&M. You had
they're doing more
North Carolina.
Days.
Yeah,
they used to do four upper body lays and three leg days. Now they do four leg days. Three. It's going to be a much more
revolutionary change.
Half of these strength and conditioning coaches, they're really good. They're guys at Planet Fitness are the really good marketing plans. It's just they somehow have talked their way into. I'm going to take a world class athlete and get him motivated to lift weights.
Yeah,
of making millions of dollars is at stake if you work hard, but I will get you to work hard.
That's right. They see, you know, a $12 million first round opportunity out there and they no. I need a strength coach to make me do it.
Get me up at 5 a.m. and scream at me. All right. Pac-12 is going to hire a new commissioner. That commissioner is, it's not officially announced at this moment as we tape this podcast, but the AP, Ralph Russo and others are reporting. I think Ralph Russo's got the story. George Kolayevkov is going to be it. Now, you may say, who? Who is this guy? Who is George?
That's what I'm saying.
This is not Andrew Luck. This is not someone. This is Bill Walton's candidacy. Didn't take off. I thought that certainly would have been it. He is coming from MGM Resorts, where he was the president of entertainment and sports at MGM. I can tell you, MGM, I know it sounds just like a casino. They also own the T-Mobile center in Las Vegas. They run tons of boxing events, UFC, different things, rodeo. They've obviously had a relationship with the Pac-12. I'm guessing. This is just coming out, so I don't know, but they do sports. They do esports. They do all sorts of sports. Las Vegas Aces of the WNBA plays out of there. So it's not, this guy's not just like running a, you know, shuffling the shoe at a blackjack table in New York, New York. Okay. Out of the box hire, obviously. He had previously worked for MLB Advanced Media, NBC Universal. So he's got a little bit of that as his thing and has been doing just, you know, it's basically your sports executive coming in. Your thoughts, Pat, on, I mean, obviously, I think it's completely unfair to say this is a bad or good hire based on this particular person, but your thoughts on that kind of hire for the Pac-12? Is that what they need?
This isn't just outside the box. I mean, this is like the box is in Walnut Creek, California, and this idea is coming in from Jupiter. All right. This is so far off the beaten path. Now, as you said, his background shows, all right, he has been involved in sports. He has been involved in media companies and some athletic companies. And yes, I'm sure there's a relationship there since I think they run T-Mobile Arena in Vegas where...
And they run the MGM Grand Garden, which used to host the Pac-12 tournament. Yeah.
Right.
They run,
yes.
They own T-Mobile.
Yeah. I mean, it may turn out fine, but to a degree, is the Pac-12 once again just throwing double birds at the athletic directors and coaches in the league and saying, yeah, you all thought that Larry Scott was out of touch with what goes on campus? Well, guess what? We're going to hire somebody who might even be further out of touch with what goes on campus. He's never worked on a campus that I can find. He went to Boston University, so he has extensive background in the Pac-12. I went to Virginia Law School.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you're an AD in that league right now, you got to be sitting there saying, geez, are you ever going to like get anybody that we have any rapport with? And the answer is clearly no. So this is a play that seems to me to indicate we've got to distribute our product better. And that's what we're going to try to do via this person. You know, it's all just going to be about distribution platform and everything. And once again, as usual, we don't really give a damn what goes on your campuses. Just get better. We're not going to help you get better other than maybe trying to come up with a better network solution. But just get better. Go do it on your own.
I mean, this is straight business. I don't know. But it's a straight business. You can generate more money, then I think that's it. I just know all I would say is this. There's obviously almost no collegiate background to this. Do you need that guy who's going to understand all the small things that are going to happen that make this a unique sport? I do know that when someone who covers a lot of different sports and has covered college sports extensively, but has also been at any number of MGM property events, a Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor fight, a Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao fight is a monstrous event. Like it's a really, really big event. Huge UFC card. Dealing with all those things, his background is just different in sports. And I don't know whether that's the right one or not. He's made a lot of money in a lot of different ways for the people he's worked with. So I just it's not college sports. I'll say one thing about a Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight, not college sports. It's big, it's big sports, but there is nothing that has to do with college sports involved in it. That unique line you have to walk isn't there. And so that's going to be a big question for me is like, is that possible? That's going to be the challenge of how much is he up to speed? How, you know, but man, when you run big fights, you run a rodeo, you run all these you're involved in big, this isn't, I actually think this is a more better experience of running the tennis tour that Larry Scott basically did. So I don't know. I have no idea, but it's definitely out of the box. It's out of the box. But.
Yeah. It's one of the ultimate wait and see hires, right? I mean, he may turn out fine, but. You don't go in with some of the natural fits that you thought that they were going to try to create because that they lacked from Larry Scott, you know? I mean, because the complaining from the campus people was endless about how Larry Scott was out of touch with what goes on campus and the day-to-day operations of an athletic department. And this, on the face of it, does nothing to address any of those complaints or concerns.
All right. Well, we will see. There'll be knives will be out, no doubt. Welcome to our world, George. Look out. That's a lot of anonymous athletic director sources coming out. I want to get into this. College golf.
College golf.
I didn't see this coming.
Oh, boy.
Didn't see this coming. You know, I love golf.
Yeah.
This one's a weird one. The women's national championship regional was supposed to be played at the University Club in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, LSU's University Club. It was supposed to be a fine course. It rained 7 inches over a few days. Oddly, I find the NCAA, they got a golf committee. It's chaired, or the representative was the AD at Fairleigh Dickinson. He came out Wednesday and declared that even though the course is playable, it's not playable at a championship level. And canceled the NCAA golf regional that they were going to go. And then in a fashion that maybe, I don't know whether he like channeled his inner BCS Bill Hancock and immediately declared that the top 6 seeded teams will advance and the top 3 individuals who are not on that team advance. So you don't get a chance to play your way in, which if you know anything about golf, like rankings are nice, but like even Tiger lost the vast majority of the tournaments he entered. It's not tennis, okay? It's not tennis where it's just like, you know, win percentage of Rafael Nadal is insane. You will lose in golf. If you win a couple a year, you're amazing, right?
Yeah.
You play 25 years and you win 14, right. You're Tiger freaking Woods. He went 14 majors out of the four. He's been playing 20 years and plus, 20 plus years. So whatever that number is, he's going on almost 100 of them. And he's won 14, and he's the biggest legend. Him and Nicholas are the biggest legends. So this makes no sense. The golfers were angry, as you would imagine. Are you serious? If it's playable, I don't know. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I am not a tournament golfer. Not really. I mean, nothing like this.
I'm sure you've had your moments in the member at.
Yeah, the member members are not exactly the NCAA regional. The member guests. But we're allowed to gamble. Gambling was legal. I don't know how much gambling still means the same now. Obviously not ideal if there's puddles and you're going to have standing water and dry. I mean, it's in some of the bunker, but seems like this would be possible to do. And you just sort of say, look, this sucks. Sort of like, you know, occasionally you play an NFL game and it's like foggy or pouring rain or snowing or college football. You know, you go, well, this is what we're dealing with today. All weather is football weather. Is all weather golf weather, Pat? Should they just toughen it up?
Well, hell yeah. I mean, come on. This is, I would say this at least. Give it a try. We're going to play. Everybody's going to play three holes and we're going to see if this is even working. But we're going to start. To not even try to play. I just can't understand that. I mean, get out there. And if you're gouging massive holes in the course, if your balls are plugging on every shot or whatever, fine. But man, if you're one of those golfers that didn't even get a chance to try to play and they just said, now we're done here. We're just taking the teams that were seated at the top. Everybody else go home. Your season is over. Whew. It's already been bad enough for college athletes in the last year. That's a really bad way for your season / possibly career to end. By some guy, the Fairleigh Dickinson AD standing on the steps and saying, we're done here. See you later.
Everyone go home.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's the guy from Fairleigh Ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is classic NCAA. They have no, where's the explanation? This has been a day. Now, maybe it's coming, and by the time you listen to this, it's out there. But it's been a day. You should have sat, this is like the NCAA women's basketball tournament where you didn't have the weight room set up.
Yep.
And then rather than just admit you were wrong, this is a bad PR look, and send Mark Emmert down there to set up the weights and have a weightlifting contest. They just play it up and be like, we screwed up. They immediately try to fight it, obstruct it, say it isn't happening, say nothing, and then form a committee to solve the problem later. It's which is going to cost you so much money because you're now going to have to build the freaking state-of-the-art weight room good enough for the Chicago Bears at every single women's basketball game now. Yeah, just to make up for the damage.
Right.
You don't just send the dude out. You'd be like, okay, here are the 10 reasons we can. Here's my thing. You don't, if you're the AD at Fairleigh Ridiculous, you don't sign up for the non-glamorous job of women's golf championship regional director or whatever. Now maybe you get to play a lot of free golf. I don't know. You don't sign up for that if your goal, because people are like, they hate golfers, they hate women golfers. Why would you sign up for this job if you're like, I don't like women's golfers? You know what? I'm gonna sign up and hope that it rains a lot and I can cancel their tournament. No, this guy wants it to happen. I have no doubt there's like this tortured decision. What's the decision? Explain it. Be like, look, the club is like, you're going to tear up our joint. We don't want you anymore. Then put it on LSU golf. I don't know that's true. Right. Say, we think that this doesn't work. We can't. Because some things you can do is like, if there's standing water in part of a hole, you could move it and say, all right, we're going to make this par four, par three. Yeah. We'll set up a little temporary thing. We'll avoid that. Or if What's the reason? How does this take so long?
That, yeah, takes 3 days to not play. And then, yeah, you just come out and you say, well, we're just, this is the rule book, so this is what we're doing. Goodbye.
It's show, show's closed tonight, people. Take care. See you next time. Tip your waiters. Drive safe. Call an Uber. Like, what? These poor girls, these poor women are sitting there going, what? I got my sticks here. I've been practicing. Like, this is my, I spent my entire life trying to get into this thing. Yeah. I'm a college golfer.
Yeah, here's my big chance. We're going on the road to play at LSU. Big opportunity. And they don't even get to swing a club other than maybe on the practice range. It's unbelievable.
And it is golf. Anybody, every one of those women are good enough to tear up the course and shoot low.
Sure.
And I mean, that's golf. And any one of them can have a horrible day. But it just felt like, well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm dying to hear the explanation. It'll just take like a month and like a Condoleezza Rice subcommittee. She's a golfer. She's a woman. We need a woman golfer around. Where's Condi? She does all our hard work.
Condi, come in and save us again, please.
We don't know what happened. Like, I'm dying to hear this. Like, I think that the really good players or the really good teams are like, cancel it, right? It's like you got a no-hitter going. Like, a couple drops of rain here.
Yeah.
Can't play. Yeah. Is that lightning in the distance? I think that's my guess. Somebody is up to something. A podcast listener, Craig Mordock, who's a resident of Louisiana, says that there has to be some kind of payoff. And this is LSU now.
LSU. They're the host school. They were the top seed. Tigers advance. Without swinging a club.
BCS standings. It's the Les Miles. We never lost in regulation. The year he got two lost LSU in the BCS title game. Yeah. We never lost in regulation. And they bought it. Brilliant. And they bought it. It worked.
Yeah. You just see the BCS people nodding their heads. Oh, he's right. Oh, yeah.
That's a good point. Those are overtime losses. They don't count, do they? What? Put that in there as a standard.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. They can get on the bat phone to Condi. I wonder if Condi has an agreement like with Emmert. Like, and by the way, it is Emmert on this podcast, people, for our listeners. Pete is not here, so you don't get the Emmert controversy.
I think I say it wrong. Do I say
Emmert? You said it right just a minute ago. I was noticing.
That guy.
Yeah. But so I'm guessing Condi says, all right, Mark, you are such a pain in the ass. You can only call me once every 2 years. So choose wisely when you're using your calls.
Retainer fee. Yeah. I have not got, bless Condoleezza Rice, but she's a product of Washington, D.C. They know how to consult. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Lobby. Right.
That's Mark Emmert's go-to calls in times of crisis. Condi, Val Ackerman, Gene Smith. I need you guys on a committee. Please save me. We're drowning here.
I don't care if they tear up the university course. If you agree to host this thing, just strange.
Yeah.
Strange. And again, if everybody, obviously you'd want to tee off last, maybe let the drain. So what? That's how it works. Play the game. I'm giving them a benefit of the doubt that there has to be some good explanation, but I don't know what it is. I just simply don't know what it is.
I'd even welcome a bad explanation at this point. Just how about an explanation?
In other kind of weird NCAA thing, Sully brought this up. You know, the NFL's schedule release dominates sports and media on Wednesday. I mean, they're trotting this thing out on Good Morning America all day long. Little leaks, little this, little that, right? Oh, Cowboys are going to open on against the Tampa Bay, and when's Brady going to go to New England and all this? And they absolutely build over 3 days and build it up and then leak it out and get this massive amount of publicity in the middle of May for the order in which games we already know are going to be played.
That's the thing.
Are played. We already knew all these games were going to happen. We just now know it's week 3 instead of week 8. Yet they turn it into this monstrous thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Genius marketing.
Absolute genius.
The social media energy going into it. You got Peyton Manning doing the video for Denver, and you got Post Malone hanging a gold pendant around Jerry Jones's neck for the Cowboys. I mean,
Chargers are funny. Everyone's got a funny thing.
Yeah.
It's absolute genius. Okay. They have turned every single aspect of their offseason. There's about a 3-week offseason, late June to the like middle of July. And then that's usually when all the there's a bunch of player arrests. So we got that. So they schedule their player arrests. It's kind of the Aaron Hernandez zone.
God. Let's hope we don't have one of those this summer.
Yeah, let's avoid that. But yeah, totally genius. So Sully's like, they need to pull this off. They should do this in college football.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even think it's possible. And I'll give you two examples of why this is. College sports is woefully, as popular as college football is, it should be more popular. It should easily, if it isn't already, it should be easily the second biggest sport in this country. We love football. This is football. You have football. It should be bigger than the NBA, baseball, not. And it might be now, but it could be even bigger. Two things. One is we talked about recently, like they're going to change the playoff. And instead of leaking it out in a manner that gets the most publicity and generates a week of discussion, because like the NFL is now at a 17-game season. When they first started doing that, they'd wait till the middle, some point, and then they'd leak out to one of their cherished guys, Peter King or Schefter or something. NFL sources say NFL is considering a 17th game, right? During a kind of quiet time, mm-hmm. and everyone would flip out, right? And the source is Roger Goodell or whatever it is, right? It's the PR department of the NFL.
Yeah.
And I goes the source, and everyone flip out and discuss it for 3 days, and then next year they do it again. Hey, 17, you can't have 17. Right. Boom. This is how they do things. College football, they're going to expand their playoff, could create an entire week. Instead of waiting until the Tuesday morning after the NFL draft, a dead week, and leaking it out to one of their favorite reporters that the sources say they're looking at this, and then all of a sudden there's another that's been confirmed. That's 6 hours later, and boom, a whole week of everyone on ESPN, everyone on the websites, everyone on the podcast, everyone on new, whatever, talk radio, newspapers, talking about playoff plans. They leak it out on a Friday, bury it officially.
17th paragraph of a Friday night release.
Buried, and you don't leak it to one person, so it loses the shock value. You gotta leak it to somebody. That gets the shock, and then the confirmation. Everyone's scrambling. It's, oh my God, right? That's how you do it. They do none of that. The other one is National Signing Day, which used to be the big midwinter thing. And even then, it was at the wrong time. They do it during Super Bowl week. You should do it. Sometimes it fell in Super Bowl week. Put it after the Super Bowl. Make it the big thing that it was. National Signing Day. If nothing else, to give all the diehards a chance to talk college football, get fired up in the middle of February. And then you'd bring in spring game and they do all these things, right? They move it to December, right before Christmas, in the middle of the playoff, all the different stuff, and it lost huge value. And they split it in half. That's probably their best offseason marketing moment, and they killed it because coaches want to lock kids up unfairly, I would note. Because then the coaches all leave.
Right. Before coaching changes, staff changes. Absolutely.
They don't care about marketing and growing the sport. They care about their own personal interests. And so people in the playoff don't want the playoff expanded. So they refuse to market it. And coaches just want to lock kids up, even though they may take another job. So they refuse. And it's like a fundamental, like, how's the NFL this big? Because they always are pulling in the same direction.
Yep.
College sports isn't. College football isn't.
No, they're all pulling against each other. And so that's the thing. And that's why, yes, a schedule reveal for college football would be awesome if you could make it work. But think of the coordination and cooperation it would take, which you cannot get. As we saw last summer when the big conferences said, oh, yeah, we're all on the same page as far as, A, you know, when we're going to play, you know, how many games, schedule, all that thing. And then all of a sudden the Big Ten and Pac-12 are like, nah, we're going this way. Everybody else is going that way. And it just falls apart. There is no commonality, no common good. And the NCAA itself is just so riddled with bureaucratic, you know, lack of reaction and ineptitude in some areas that you've just got no, you need a stratcom guy who could bring everybody together and say, y'all are terrible, and here's the ways you can do this better. But they wouldn't listen because then they'd all go off and do their own thing.
Yeah. They talk sometimes about a commissioner of college basketball because it feels like that sport has always had that, like, what day do we even start?
Yeah.
Right. They have two signing days, same thing, all this different stuff, you know, and I agree with that, whether it's you keep Dan Gavitt in that role or people always talk about like make Jay Billis the guy or somebody. Yeah. Clearly, college basketball is under marketed as a whole, yet survives because it has this just brilliant postseason. And it's absolutely phenomenal. Everything else, it's very, very confusing to the average fan. Football could use that, like some kind of, because it's big. But it could be a lot bigger. And the NFL has been the biggest thing in American sports and entertainment for a long time, but it keeps getting bigger.
Yeah, sit back and say we're happy with a 5 p.m. Rose Bowl kickoff period. You know, it's not like they sit there and just say, we're fine, we're not changing anything. The NFL's always looking for ways to gin it up.
And
you
know, your point, like, let's have a schedule reveal. Okay, well, now let's leak a little bit on the morning shows. That gets a different audience. Let's not just do it at 8 o'clock on NFL Network. Let's leak a little bit on Good Morning America and the Today Show.
Yeah, brilliant.
Right? Because that's a different audience. And then, you know what? Let's make it fun. Let's just throw out a screen grab of all the games. Let's have Peyton Manning. I mean, you see that, Peyton? You watched it. He's the summer intern at the Broncos. Great. And he revealed, I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that appeals to this market, and let's have our cartoons, and let's have kids, and let's do this, that, and the other. They're constantly looking for stuff, and college sports does some of that when they're trying to get players. But yeah, it's just kind of woefully behind.
The closest we saw it was last year with the SEC reveal on SEC Network, and it was an event, and it was awesome, and it got fans talking, and you know, Tennessee fans and Kentucky fans are saying we got screwed, and you know, like a. There's not that, and they already know what games were coming. You know, it's nuts. So,
and Sully, and yeah, you would think you could do that. You know, I mean, it's not going to be quite that easy because obviously you're going to play non-conference games every year, but and those are going to be known, you know, 17 years in advance. But
which we all hate. Can we get rid of that? You know,
right? But if you could get the schools to all, you know, agree and go in on a, you know, yes, like. May 15th, we're gonna throw down the big the SEC schedule or the Big Ten schedule or the ACC schedule, and we're gonna do it in a show format, and it's gonna be, you know, fun and a little bit of drama and everything. Yeah, I mean, you don't think people would be into that? Of course they would.
Yeah, I think on the flip side too, I would love a Power Five Invitational Week One where everybody just, you know, it's never gonna happen because, you know, Dan's brought up it's five mob bosses running this league, and nobody's gonna ever agree, but. You blow up week one, everybody keeps that schedule open for the next decade, and you could turn that into a ginormous event.
It'll be phenomenal. And, you know, week one's already fun, but that's the thing. Here's the thing, Sully, is week one out of the Power Five schools, 85% of them are playing home games, and 12.5% are playing neutral site 50-50 games, and only 2.5% are going on the road voluntarily. If you did Power Five against Power Five, 50% of them are on the road. They're taking an L. They're going to be complaining, oh, our fans are losing interest already, blah, 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 blah. There's just so much risk aversion generally when it comes to college football scheduling.
Yeah, and then the scheduling is done via basically these bowl games. It's the bowl operators that start early season bowls. So it's the same cronyism that allows, right, Miami and Alabama could never schedule a game on their own.
We got to use Chick-fil-A to do it. Yeah.
Got to have someone else do it. We can't possibly. Hey, Miami, this is Alabama. Would you like to meet in Atlanta, play a game? Sure. No, can't do that.
No.
That has to be. We got to have a Caribbean cruise to figure that out. So there we are. All right.
I'm going to get a golf tournament, too. Golf.
I'm going to get a golf tournament, just not at LSU, where apparently you can't play. Believe me, if that was the Sugar Bowl golf outing, they would play. All right, I'm going to get to the FCS championship game. I got to get to this story because obviously we've triumphed the chicken wars, and there's been many stories about, you know, we got a lot of supply chain issues in this country, things like that.
Clearly,
and one of the big concerns gasoline. Is we're running out of chickens. We're running out of chickens to make the chicken sandwiches, to make. And then we actually have a Chick-fil-A sauce issue. We're not making enough Chick-fil-A sauce. That's really not a chicken issue. But there's certainly some nerves there. And once again, do we come together as Americans and ration? No. dudes are running into Chick-fil-A and just stealing all the Chick-fil-A sauce and running out. Because that's what America is. And I'm kind of proud of it.
You get yours. I'll get mine.
I got a Chick-fil-A squirt bottle in my fridge. So no worries over here at the Sullivan residence.
Did you steal it?
No. I bought it. You could, on Grubhub, you can order like the big versions of the sauce packets. And
really?
We prepare over here.
Okay. I'm glad you're not running and stealing. That's good.
You got to get my sauce, right? So they're trying to. Well, anyway, we have a culprit apparently for the shortage in chickens. And the blame, which I think is unfair. And I feel bad for these guys because this is pretty embarrassing. It's the Tyson Chicken Company's roosters are getting blamed.
We have underperforming roosters?
I will read the thing. Donnie King, Tyson's chief operating officer and group president of poultry. What was this card?
Poultry.
President of poultry. Donnie's making more money than you and I.
Yeah, I'm laughing, but Donnie's probably making about $45 million. He's in Goodell care. But the group president of poultry said on an analyst call this week, that there's been an unexpected decline in hatchings because of the type of roosters they used, and the roosters have not been meeting expectations. I'm not here to explain to you how a rooster, a chicken, and an egg all come together. Okay, that's not what we're trying to do on this podcast. If you don't know
biology here.
If you don't know at this point, I don't know what to tell you. Ask your parents. And if your parents aren't around, if you're too old, then I don't know what to tell you. But the chicken and the egg, one of them does come first, okay? So the roosters, these Tyson roosters, are getting blamed on a Wall Street call. I mean, that alone would give you performance anxiety.
That's we need rooster Viagra is what we're saying.
Here. Yes. How do the roosters are getting yelled at? They're out there in Springdale, Arkansas, or wherever the hell these Tyson has their chickens, and they're getting yelled at, probably getting yelled at every day. Come on, fellas. Step it up. You're giving us a bad name. Our whole company. This is a very large company. Tyson Chicken has been reliably serving chicken to America for generations, and these guys are slacking Gen Z roosters. Get yourself some cocktails and get in the mood.
You got the Tyson Poultry Strength Coach out there saying, let's go! Let's go! Get in there!
That's probably not helping.
I feel worse for the strength coach because he's got to keep stats on this thing, right?
Yeah.
The rooster's job is pretty plumb. Like, he's got one job, but you got to stand out there in the heat of Arkansas counting these roosters doing their job.
Okay. Hey, you remember Robbie Caldwell, offensive line coach at Clemson, was the head coach, interim head coach at Vanderbilt for one year?
Yeah.
He was the greatest SEC media day performance ever, where he got up there and talked about his job as on a turkey insemination farm. It was his job to, make the stuff happen.
This is
him. So they may need Robbie Caldwell to get in the
coach him up, Coach Caldwell.
Get in there, Tyson. Start telling him what to do.
This is absolutely nuts. Fewer eggs and lower hatch rates than the roosters Tyson used to employ. The old studs have got it done.
Yeah, this younger generation, soft. Maybe literally. I don't know.
This is can you imagine, like, if this story is true? Because they blamed everything on here, too. It's probably.
The
February winter storm in Texas that affected our operations broadly. It was like a week.
Come on.
We essentially lost a week across our entire poultry enterprise. All right. Everyone's blaming everything on everyone, right?
America, yet again.
It's America. We can't get anything right. Our roosters can't even get the job done anymore. Kind of crap we got. This country is going downhill.
The rooster union's got to be outraged. Like they got to be saying, look, we are being asked to perform above and beyond expectations here in poor conditions through a winter storm. They're probably wanting like more feed or something. Like, they should be asking for something out of this.
Mental anguish. They've been triggered. They need a safe space. I mean, just give me a day off here. You guys don't understand the pressure, the younger generation. I don't know. What's going on here? All I know is I'm worried that I'm going to go to Popeyes one day and I'm not going to be able to get a chicken.
Yeah, no, that the bottom line is America needs the chicken. So
we do need to solve this problem. This is a problem we need solved. All right, FCS title game.
Yes.
Speaking of someone who can get it done, Sam Houston State. Big comeback upset. Came back from 21 down in the second half to beat James Madison last week. Meanwhile, they're playing your team, the Jackrabbits.
Yeah.
SDSU.
Yep.
They crushed Delaware 33-3. What's Delaware's mascot?
Blue Hens. Chicken? Blue Hens,
yeah,
baby.
See?
See, it all comes back to poultry. It all comes back to poultry.
Sam Houston coach Casey Keeler can become the first coach to lead two programs to the title. He won it in 03 with Delaware. He has 23 career playoff wins, ties the sweater vest, Senator Jim Tressel, so he could break the record next time. You were on the SD. We were going to do more FCS, but we have important things like chicken wars.
Yeah,
and gas shortages and things like that to discuss on a college football. We can't have time for actual college football.
There's only so much when we're trying to solve as many world problems as we are. There's only so much time for FCS.
FCS was fine without us. Who you got at BetMGM is SDSU giving 5. Ain't no party like a South Dakota party. This could get wild. But do you go against the Texans down there, Sam Houston State? SDSU has the second-ranked rush offense in the country. SMU State has the second-ranked rush defense. Something has to give.
It does, and Sam Houston's going to give. I'm sorry. Look, the Jackrabbits cannot be stopped here. And again, my allegiance dates back 3-4 years now to when I got a South Dakota State Jackrabbits t-shirt. So I am hardcore with the Jacks. They flexed their muscles in that semifinal win. There's no stopping them now. And especially Sam Houston, I'm sorry, but a complete imposter, spelling Bearcats with a K. You do that, you're not good enough to win any national title. Get out of here.
Sam Houston State Bearcats undefeated on the season.
Doesn't matter. K in the name, you're out.
K in the name and you're out. All right.
South Dakota State wins and covers.
They lost to North Dakota. I lost two bets on South Dakota State earlier this year. I bet Northern Iowa to win, and then I bet them. Then I swung after I literally watched the game. Actually, February 19th, I watched South Dakota State Northern Iowa play. Then I was so impressed with South Dakota State. I thought they'd beat North Dakota. Then North Dakota beat them. So I'm 0-2 with South Dakota State. Also, I think we should just have one Dakota. I think it's completely arrogant of the Dakotas to say that there should be two of you.
Yeah, but think about it. We can't have 49 states. That's a bad number.
Well, like give 50 Texas, make two Texases, two Californias, two Florida. I mean, there's like, many states could be broken into two things.
Why does North and South Carolina get to have their thing?
I don't know. West Virginia and Virginia.
You're singling out the Dakotas here, Dan. I think that I'm feeling this is you're discriminating against the Dakotas.
I might be. I'm Sam Houston State for the win. Win and cover.
Wow. All right. I'll bet you a glass of Ames water on this one.
There you go. It's as close as you're getting to South Dakota. South Dakota's also one of two states I've never been to.
What's the other one?
Alaska. And everyone else. But
I haven't been to Alaska, and I haven't been to North Dakota.
I'm more of a North Dakota guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not South Dakota. All right, with that, we're going to end this. Pete is on vacation through the early part of next week, so we're just going to do one next week, probably Wednesday. Don't get upset with us.
Yeah. Secondary coach speculation. We'll be back the week after.
We'll be back. So, it's May. Yeah. You guys will be fine.
Yep.
Okay. Talk to your kids or something if you spend some time with your family or just drink till you're blackout drunk. I don't care. We'll be back next week.